Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. This show originates in a studio at the corner of Broadway and Battery in downtown San Francisco. There are few other places that share the same feeling of living in a bubble than that. Maybe Washington, D.C., some pockets of L.A., maybe a private beach in Hawaii. Economically speaking, the Bay Area is booming. It's a center of industry, growth, disruption, and really, really high costs of living. That's mostly thanks to the outsized competition among companies to hire talented people to work for them. So, you want to work in Silicon Valley? Hope you're driven by data.
Now they need people within their company, 2 to 3, 4, 5 people that are just focused on content. Because there's so much noise out there.
Right.
And to drive people to your application, your website, you need content.
The labor market around here is sick. From Robert Half, a talent and placement company, here are a few numbers around the hottest jobs and their salaries. Front-end web developer, starting salary between $79,000 and $112,000. That's up 7.2% from last year. Mobile designer, wages up 6.8% for a range of $112,000 to $170,000 per annum. Data scientist, up again, 6.4%. Minimum salary, $162,000. And a big data engineer will pull down between $189,000 and $275,000. That's a 5.8% increase from 2015. The median annual income for all 50 of these United States, it's about $52,000. To help us peel back the layers of the labor market in the Bay Area, we pulled in a hiring and talent executive who is in the know.
Heather Johnston, Senior VP for Robert Half.
Heather, thanks so much for coming in. We've spoken so many times over the past few years on my previous show, for this show, and thank you for coming into the studio.
Absolutely.
This time we're going to start off with some hard data we have from Robert Half. Now, you're a talent and placement firm, a recruiting firm, so you're kind of at the crux of where people would like to work and where people are actually hiring to work. Where are you seeing in a macro way a lot of activity, and then we'll get into the micro way?
Anything in the tech and marketing space, you know, over the last couple of years, we've really seen a marriage between tech and marketing kind of coming together. We've seen these tech roles now reporting into chief marketing officers, which we didn't see in the past. Hmm. So anything in the data analytics area, anything in the content marketing strategist area, two of our two hottest roles right now.
You have content strategist on your list. Mm-hmm. Apparently it went up.
It did.
Salaries went up 5% or so?
Yeah, anywhere from 5 to 8% here in San Francisco.
Has that been surging recently? Is content marketing strategist a new thing, or is that something that's just been bumping along and now it's being noticed?
It's a newer role because in years past, marketing managers used to just do that. But now they need people within their company, 2 to 3, 4, 5 people that are just focused on content because there's so much noise out there.
Right.
And to drive people to your application, your website, you need content. And so content is so important right now. So they need these strategists that are truly looking at what's going to drive people to the websites.
So when you say content, are these people expected to be thought leaders or create thought leadership within a subsector or within a group of companies and competitors?
They need to be a thought leader because people want new information. They want something that's going to be new for an industry,
okay.
Right? You can't just put what a company does anymore on a website. You need to be creating content around what the company's doing.
Right. Context.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when you think about content, you really think about what's driving social media. When you want people to look at an Instagram, you want people to look at a Twitter, there's not content constantly being pushed out there that's relevant information,
right.
No one's going to see it.
But you can't shill either, right? Because then you're just a one-trick pony and everybody's going to just shut you down.
Right. You need to have consistent content that makes sense to people, and it's not just noise to be out there for the sake of noise,
right.
But really powerful information. And so that's why they're bringing in content strategists.
Let's go back to another point you made early on, which was the data aspect of it. That seems to be the heaviest still?
Still the heaviest roles are in data. So if we take a look back 5 years ago, San Francisco, Silicon Valley, everyone was looking for a data scientist. And we would have small to mid-sized companies calling us at Robert Half saying, I need a data scientist. Yet they didn't really know what they were going to do with one. Mm-hmm. They just knew that every big company that had an app had a data scientist. But they didn't really have the tools and the technology to gather that data. So now what we've got technology like applications like Hadoop that gather information in.
Right.
And then they bring in data engineers, data scientists that can actually analyze that data and show companies what consumers are buying, what consumers are reading. We talk back to content again.
Right.
And so they're analyzing all that data and then giving it into the marketing teams.
I see.
And usually that used to be hosted just by CIOs and CTO, all that information.
Mm-hmm.
But now marketing needs that information to drive people to their website.
So are you finding that more firms are bringing that role in-house rather than contracting it out to a company, say, like Splunk?
They actually are bringing that in-house. Before, when it was relatively new, if we talk about 5 years ago, they didn't have enough people to do that. So they would have to go to companies like a Splunk.
Mm-hmm.
But now they need someone on site. So they have full data analytic teams.
And that range of salary, let's say somebody was interested in being a data scientist, what can they expect?
You know, if you're talking about a data scientist with a PhD, which typically data scientists will have in either mathematics or statistics,
mm-hmm.
so it's not your typical computer science
right.
degree.
No, this is advanced.
Yeah, so you're looking at someone with 5 to 7 years of experience at a 200K plus.
Okay, well, that's a good starting figure. And, of course, bonuses get rolled into
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
And the bennies are all probably pretty nice, too.
Absolutely.
In the data realm, what else are you seeing there? Maybe not a PhD level. Anything else playing out?
Yeah, I think your data engineers, your data analytics are the people who are actually gathering the data for it to be disseminated out. You're looking at those folks anywhere from 100 to about 170K.
Wow, is that up recently?
That is up.
Okay.
So that's up anywhere from 5 to 8%.
Year over year?
Year over year.
That's the hottest market I can think of.
Yeah, because if you take a look right now, if you were to do a search, let's just call it on one of the more popular sites like an Indeed, and you would just look in this 7x7 grid of San Francisco
mm-hmm.
and type in data analytics, you would probably find anywhere from 40 to 50 open positions for those
wow.
individuals now.
Wow.
So there's just a war on talent. So they've got to pay.
Man, we are just not the rest of the
country.
We're
in the wrong business.
Well, there's that. But yeah, I'm just thinking like the macro economy for the Bay Area, we just are not the rest of the world.
That's right. Absolutely.
I remember a few years ago, I spoke with you right after I went to the Facebook Developers Conference.
Yeah.
And Mark Zuckerberg at that conference at the time said rather famously, now, Facebook is a mobile company. And he's crushed it every quarter since then. Are you seeing continued growth in the mobile space when it comes to hiring?
Mobile hasn't had as big a gain as data analytics over as far as compensation,
mm-hmm.
anywhere from 5 to 7. You're probably looking at about 3 to 5.
Okay.
With anyone with a mobile.
If I got a 5% raise every year, I'd be okay with it.
I would take that too.
Yeah. Not too bad. So what is the range for a mobile? Just ballpark.
So if you're looking at someone who's got a mobile background and they can do Android as well as any type of Apple products, you're looking at 125 to 185,
okay.
depending on years of experience.
Okay, that's fair. I understand the range it has mm-hmm. to be to experience commensurate, of course. Okay, let's go a little more macro, Heather. I have you here. Let's say you're onboarding a new brother-in-law, and that brother-in-law needs a nice gig. Which way are you going to point him to if it's not mobile, if it's not data?
I think what I would do is tell them to get into development, web development.
Okay.
Whether it's going to be front end or back end.
Again, we're not talking about a PhD level training, right? Okay.
So if you are someone who likes to code, you like to program, then that's the area and the direction that you should go in.
Okay, cool.
Because there's so many different legs to that type of role.
Let's talk about Robert Half for a second, too. You guys are international, a huge company, a lot of placement. You're obviously very busy here in the 9-county Bay Area. What's it like when you're onboarding somebody through Robert Half? Walk me through a use case, a user experience. Let's say you, do you recruit? Do you reach out to people or can people reach out to you? Let's start there.
Yeah, so both of those things happen. So a lot of times people who are passively looking, so they're actually employed.
Mm-hmm.
They're passively looking. They'll call Robert Half and say, tell me a little bit about how the market's changed. I've been in my role for 4 or 5 years. You know, should I move? Should I not? So we're actually career counselors as well.
Okay.
And we're going to tell them what their compensation, what they should be making with their skill set. And is it a right move for them to
mm-hmm.
go somewhere else into another sector?
Okay.
So we'll have conversations like that with people who are actually already working. And then people who are looking for freelance jobs. That's really big here in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Where, whether it's in tech or marketing, where they say, I don't really want to be at a company for 5 to 10 years.
All right. Will you keep feeding me story leads?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. And what's the best way for somebody to reach out to you guys to maybe be reviewed or maybe try to get onboarded with some career counseling?
Yeah, the best way is to go to Robert Half, go to our website, where we've got great content, by the way.
Okay.
And then just go ahead and type in your location, and that'll get you to one of our 400 offices.
All right. Well, Heather, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
That was Heather Johnston, a vice president at Robert Half. That's a talent and placement company with offices around the world. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Techonomics. We certainly hope you had some fun. We sure did. And we certainly want to thank our guests. We talked about the future of the planet with a NASA astrobiologist. We talked about the human capacity for surviving climate change and the hope that is being instilled in our younger generations when it comes to reversing the climatic vandalism that's been going on for about 100 years. For links to all of our segments, check out the podcast at KGORadio.com or just about anywhere you pull down your podcasts. We definitely populate Audio Boom. There's also a link to the music we choose for each week's show at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. We also post any related links right there, too. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, my name is Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.